Hi guys, before we get into this show, this is a quick message to say that this podcast is sponsored by Ant Podcast Management. That's our own company. Ant stands for Amy Nick Thompson. If you or your company want to start a professional podcast or need help running an existing one, then we have got you covered. We can simply provide an editing service or go all the way up to full podcast management. Visit ant-podcastmanagement.com for more information. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome back to What the Faux Travel Podcast. This is Series 3, Episode 1, and it's all about Brazil.
Hey guys, we are back at last. About time. It feels like it's been ages, but What the Faux Travel Podcast is back.
Hello guys. Yeah, like you said, it has been such a long time, but we're really excited. We've been to a few different countries now, so we've got new content, new interviews and everything to bring you. So yeah, it's all exciting. Series 3 is going to be good.
We've got so much lined up for you guys. Yeah, it's really exciting. We're happy to be back. We hope that you're happy that we're back.
Yes. Right, so the first question I hear you ask is, what's coming up on the show? So we're going to be talking about Rio, we're going to talk about favelas, Sao Paulo, Iguazu Falls, we're going to be talking about beaches, islands, couch surfing as well, because we tried that for the first time in terms of staying with people. We've had people stay with us, so we're going to be talking about that. And of course, how can we miss it? We're definitely going to be talking about Brazilian food because it is incredible. So lots coming up on the show. But Nick, let's start with shout outs to kind of get reacquainted with everyone again.
Let's do it. Okay, so shout outs. DYL at Travels BYBYL. I don't know what that means. But they got in touch on Instagram to say, just discovered your podcast. Love it.
Oh, nice and simple. Love it.
Katie and Chris from Sexy Coffee Blog on Instagram, they also got in touch. They said, what is up, motherfowers? Love the show and thanks for sharing your travels with us. And Sarah Lepante also got in touch on Instagram. She said, I'm almost out of your podcast to listen to. The show is my mental escape on my commute to work. She also said that she has a big trip coming up to Prague and Budapest, and she'll go back and listen to our episodes about those places again.
Oh, that's nice.
That's the shout-outs done.
Yep, so keep those coming in because we love hearing from you guys. And if there's anything that you want us to bring back or keep or anything for Series 3, tell us and we'll do our best to bring more content to you. So, Nick, and talking about content that everybody loves, let's go with Game Show Facts.
Toque essa música. Brazil is South America's biggest country. A former Portuguese colony, Brazil has a highly diverse population, including indigenous Americans and the descendants of African slaves and European settlers. The official language is Portuguese, but there are also 180 indigenous languages spoken here. The population is around 200 million and the capital city is Brasilia. Over the past few years, Brazil has made major strides in its efforts to raise millions out of poverty, although the gap between rich and poor remains wide. Brazil was famous for the Amazon rainforest, beautiful beaches, and football. Brazil was the most successful team in World Cup history. They've won it 5 times.
Goal! Sensacional!
There is an Osama Bin Laden-themed bar in Sao Paulo, run by an Osama lookalike. Tours of Brazil's shanty towns, known as favelas, have become popular tourist attractions in recent years. Brazil has been the world's largest exporter of coffee for more than 150 years. Sao Paulo has the largest economy of any city in the Southern Hemisphere. Around 2 million Brazilians are of Japanese descent, and you can visit a Japanese district in Sao Paulo. Samba music developed in Brazil in the 1800s is still very popular.
Yay, Game Show Facts is back.
It is back. Now we've introduced Brazil, let's go and dive deeper into this place.
Yeah, but wait, I need to know, did you know about the Osama Bin Laden bar before we went?
Yeah, but we'll explain later. We didn't go, did we, basically?
No.
That's what you're saying, and yeah. Maybe we should have. you'll hear later, we were just too busy. We had like 3 or 4 days in Sao Paulo and we had too much to do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was a very busy but incredible time. So let's get into it. Next, I'm going to talk to you about language lessons with Amy. So obviously Brazil, well, is maybe not obviously. I think a lot of people think that Brazil speaks Spanish just because it's part of the South American continent, but it doesn't. It speaks Portuguese. And also it's a completely different dialect than what they speak in Portugal. So that's something we spoke to a lot of locals about, wasn't it? That they kind of don't understand each other. So Portuguese think that Brazilians sing when they talk, which you can kind of hear when they talk. I love the way that Brazilians sound. And then the other way round, what do Brazilians think of Portuguese?
I think we heard that, yeah, they think Portuguese just like kind of abruptly end their words really quickly. Mm. You know, they just finish the word really quickly, whereas a Brazilian might kind of sing the sentence. But I do like how the Brazilians speak. It's really good. But yeah, they can tell the difference between Brazilian and Portuguese, a bit like, I suppose, us telling the difference between someone from America. They're still speaking English, but yeah, you can spot them a mile off.
Exactly. But they do have some different words, like, for example, pineapple in Brazilian Portuguese is abacaxi. But then it's something completely different. I actually don't know what it is in actual Portuguese. But anyway, let's teach you some basic words. So if you're on your way to Brazil now, you will have the basic words down. So to say hello is hola. And actually, wait, let me just say from the start, if you want to like have your accent down, I've kind of got a way to describe it to you, which sounds really weird. Pretend that you're speaking Spanish, but you need to learn a few of the different sounds, then you have to put on like a Borat accent to it.
Okay.
And I learned this through, I was trying to learn Portuguese and my friend was like, you sound like Borat. So that's the way I kind of like look at stuff now. So if you say like hola, rather than saying hola, you'd be like hola, hola, yeah. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so how are you is como você está?
Como você está?
Now with like a Borat bit to it.
Como você está?
Yeah, that actually sounds a bit more like it. Okay, so you've got, I don't understand where you'd say, now entiendo.
Now entiendo.
It's not tiendo, that's Spanish. So it's entiendo.
Now entiendo.
No, you did it again.
Oh, what are you
it's
saying?
Not, it's not entiendo, it's entiendo.
Oh.
There you go.
Now entiendo. Nintendo.
Okay, yeah, just think Nintendo. Okay, so to say I only speak a little Portuguese, and this is where I sound very Borat, is when you say falo un poco de português.
Yeah, I see that. Falo.
So falo means I speak un poco de português.
Falo un poco de português.
That's pretty good. So yes is sim.
Sim, easy.
No is now.
Now.
And that's kind of like you're talking from your throat, really. It's not really from your mouth. So just, it's kind of like a, you know, when you're meditating. So it's more like a now.
Now.
Yeah. It's quite a difficult sound for English speakers because we don't really use that in our language. And then just a few others. Good morning is bom dia.
We heard that a lot, didn't we?
Yes.
I know it's good morning, but do they also use it as kind of just a greeting, like good day?
Yeah. Yeah, because it literally means good day.
Bom dia. Yeah, I remember hearing that a lot.
But if you see it written anywhere, it looks like it says bom dia, but they say their D's as a G, J sound. So bom dia.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon is boa tarde.
Boa tarde.
There you go. Love it. Loving the Borat accent.
That was all right, actually, wasn't it? I thought it sounded Brazilian.
It actually works. All the Brazilian people listening to this is like, oh my God, this is awful. So good night is boa noite.
Boa noite.
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 Yeah. And then thank you for a man is obrigado.
Obrigado.
But us ladies have to say obrigada. I just think I love the language. I think it's a really sexy sounding language.
And you particularly like the way they say Brazil.
Yes. Oh my God, absolutely. So yeah, we just say Brazil. But then, because obviously it's got an L on the end of the word, and they kind of make that into like a W. So you kind of like close your lips together. So it's more like Brazil.
Brazil.
Brazil, yeah. Which I love it. It sounds so good.
I like it. Now you guys have got the basics.
So that was Language Lessons with Amy.
Very good. Informative, educational as always.
Okay, right. Let's go into the actual trip then. So we got back a few weeks ago and we went on a 7-week tour. But in terms of Brazil, that was the whole trip. We was in Brazil for 2 to 3 weeks. We stayed at the southern part of the country. We will be going back to do the north because we love the country so much. But yeah, we just want to make this very clear to anyone that's listening. We can't tell you anything about the north because we haven't been there. So yeah, this is primarily the south.
Exactly. It's not a guide to the whole of Brazil.
Yeah.
We started in Rio, then went to a small place called Ilha Grande. No, I don't always say that wrong. Ilha Grande.
No, you are saying it right. Like, so like how I said, the D's go to G. So it's Ilha Grande, but they would say like Ilha Grande.
Ilha Grande, which means big island. And that's what it is. It's like an island beach type place.
That's quite big.
It's a big island, yeah. Then after that, we went to a place called Paraty, an old Portuguese colonial town.
Yeah, again, going into language, Paraty is spelt Parati. And everyone was like, where the hell is Parati? And I was like, Paraty. But yeah, anyway.
So then after Paraty, yeah, we went to Sao Paulo. And from Sao Paulo, we went to Iguaçu Waterfall. And that was the Brazil leg of our trip. We did then go to Paraguay, Argentina, Uruguay, and then later on Cuba. But we're going to talk about that later in the series.
Absolutely. So if you're looking at a map, basically we started in Rio and went all the way to the left until we hit Paraguay, pretty much. So there was a lot of overnight buses involved in that. There's actually quite a lot of hours. Like we did a few 12-hour buses. We did one 18-hour bus. So it's quite lengthy to get across South America, which I'm sure a lot of you already know. So that was pretty much the route that we took. But let's start with Rio, obviously, because we started there. And one of the most amazing days that we had there and the whole trip, we went to Rocinha Favela.
Yeah, Rocinha is Brazil's largest favela. And a favela is what we'd call, some people would call a township or a shanty town.
Rocinha began in 1929 as a small farm. The word Rocinha actually means little farm in Portuguese.
So that was Jody King. He was our favela tour guide, who is actually from Cornwall in England, believe it or not. But he lives in the favela with his Brazilian girlfriend while he is the tour guide on the tours that we went to. And he also runs a free English school for favela residents as well.
All throughout the 60s and 70s, the government kept tearing down the illegal settlements around Rio because, of course, all favelas began as illegal settlements. Favela is a plant that you can't get rid of. It's a type of a plant, yeah, you chop and kill it when it grows back very quickly. And that's why they called them favelas, because just like the plant, they couldn't get rid of them. They're very resilient. It was only since the dictatorship in Brazil ended in 1985 that the government stopped trying to remove the favelas, tear them down. And that's when people started to build more permanent housing out of brick and cement. So pretty much all what you see here today has been built since 1985. Because it's all brick and cement housing here now. There's no more wooden tin shacks in Rocinha anymore. Some poorer favelas, you know, that you might get in the north zone, you know, there are still some wooden tin shacks in some favelas for sure. But pretty much all the favelas in the south zone, it's all brick and cement now. So it's, you know, it's good, solid, sturdy housing. The pacification is this thing the government came up with when Rio was awarded the World Cup and the Olympics. They decided they wanted to do something about the gangs. The best thing about the pacification is that the people legally own their homes here now. So this is no longer an illegal settlement. So people have the deeds, the documents to their housing, and that's put the value of the properties up because the houses are now secure here. There was less crime when the gang are policing the place. Less shootings. They maintained order because the gang would always have like normal rules, like don't rob anyone in a favela, don't assault anyone, don't rape anyone, normal rules. The gang would impose these rules because if people are getting robbed in the favela, no one's going to come and buy the drugs from the gang here. So the gang have got their own business to protect. And of course, if people are getting robbed, it brings police attention, which is the last thing the gang want as well. So the gang have always maintained a kind of order and rules in these communities.
So if you broke the rules, would the gang punish you?
Yes, if you're caught robbing someone in a favela, the gang will chop your hand off and you'll be kicked out of the community. So, like, no one dare break these rules, so it's always very, very safe, you know? If it was a bad enough thing, like you rape someone or you attacked a, I don't know, rape someone or killed a mother or something, then they will kill you for it, you'll be killed. So yeah, no one dare break these rules because the consequences is very severe. They tell people, like, want to rob someone, go and rob the tourists, go and rob the wealthy people in Copacabana, Ipanema, go and rob the businessmen in Central.
So how fascinating was that? I'm sure a lot of people are going to agree. They learnt a lot there. It opened my eyes completely to favelas. And I think, yeah, a lot that I thought or assumed about favelas was wrong, really.
Like, you know that the gangs run them, but I didn't realise that they sort of, and don't get me wrong, the things that they do are horrific and the things that have been in the news, but I didn't realise they did all the good side of things, i.e., you know, bin collections and really looking after their people. So yeah, it did really open my mind. And again, it's one of these things where you go to Brazil and people always say, oh, don't go to Sao Paulo. Oh, don't go here because it's really dangerous. But actually, we felt incredibly safe. And at the time, you know, we always had our wits about us, and we are, I'd say we're experienced travellers. So, you know, there are safer ways of doing it. Don't just walk into the favela by yourself. You don't know whether you're doing anything that offends anyone or anything like that. So always go with a tour. On the other side of things, because we do need to tell the truth about everything, once we came out and we spoke to the local people about the fact that we went in there, a lot of them did get quite angry with us, because in the past there has been quite a few incidents where tourists have been caught in crossfire and they have been shot dead. And they were normal tourists as we were, walking the favela, trying to understand the culture, and they just got caught in crossfire. There's a lot of turf wars that go on there, so that's where two gangs go up against each other and they are literally fighting for the land and to who to be in control. So, you know, we don't want to be like, yeah, it's great, we had a great time and it was fine, because it was for us, but we did take precautions, i.e. going with a tour guide, although that isn't always going to keep you safe. But yeah, just look at the news and just make your own decision on what you want to do. For us, it worked out well. We're still here. We haven't been hurt and we had an incredible time and we felt like we learned a lot. But, you know, you've got to think about these things.
Yeah, exactly. We have to tell both sides of it. Like you said, we felt safe. Like we did learn a lot. It's not the place where you're going to get robbed like we thought it might be. Like Jody explained, tourist places, there where you're going to get robbed. So there are different types of dangers. And we did hear these shootings of rare. Sometimes it's not just between two gangs, it's between a gang and the police as well. And what I found was amazing, I said to Jody, because, you know, like we said, he lives there. I said, what do you do when there is a turf war or if the gangs and the police are shooting each other? He said, oh, well, if we still have electricity, we just turn the TV up.
It's just crazy, isn't it? Like, that was complete different type of culture.
Yeah, and think back home in England, if we heard one gunshot, we are freaking out. But he just said it's part of living there. But one thing that did strike me, there really was a tight sense of community there.
Yes.
Everyone really was very friendly. We're not just saying, oh, everyone's so friendly, it was so magical. People were very, very friendly. And it just felt like a real tight-knit community. And I quite admire what they've done, because at the start, they built up that favela with no help from the authorities, from the government at first. The government are now involved running things. But at first, they had to build these houses completely on their own. How many people can you say around the world who would be able to build their own house, start their own community with no help whatsoever?
So at the end of the tour, we were sitting in a Brazilian restaurant where, Nick, you got a bit caught out, didn't you? In the restaurants, if you go to like a buffet restaurant, see if on the sign it says peso on it, because it means weight. So you go around and pick up your food, where we think a buffet, you kind of get all you can for the same price. So what happened when you filled your plate?
Well, yeah, I just put on way too much food. I didn't need it all, but of course I want to get my money's worth. But then I didn't realise once you fill your plate with meat and all this good stuff, they weigh it and you pay by weight. I must have paid easily double, maybe three times of what, you know, I should have got a plate much smaller, and that would have been plenty food.
But in that restaurant, we were having a chat with Jody about how an English guy from Cornwall comes to live in a Brazilian favela.
I got fed up of living in England, always wanted to live abroad somewhere warm year-round, and I decided to come to Rio for many reasons. The weather, the beaches, the rainforest, the World Cup and the Olympics as well, because I came here a year before the World Cup and my plan was to teach English. I got qualified to teach English as a foreign language before I came, but never used that qualification, actually. I ended up managing a hostel for my first year in a small favela called Vidigal. Ended up going to this favela as a guest in the hostel, loved it so much in the community and in the favela that I stayed long-term in the hostel and ended up working in there and managing the place. That then led to me getting connected with Rocinha Favela, because it's a neighbouring favela from Vidigal, and I used to come around the mountain from Vidigal into Rocinha Favela with guests of the hostel, because it's the biggest favela in Brazil, Rocinha, and tourists wanted to see it, so I'd take them for tours, bring them for the food and the restaurants, because the food is very good and the shopping is very good here in Rocinha.
So, yeah, and then Zazinho at Favela Adventures offered me a job as a tour guide here in Rocinha just before the World Cup started in May 2014. Sounded like a great job, so I moved to Rocinha to be a tour guide. And I've been here ever since now. That's like over 3.5 years ago, I guess, now. Living in Rocinha as a tour guide. And I absolutely love it here. And I've since opened my own school, English school, which is providing free English classes to residents here. The school's called Favela Phoenix. And yeah, I absolutely love living here. It's great.
So what struck me walking around this particular favela is just how developed it is. It's a real town. It's a real city. Everything you need is in the favela. There's a real tight community feel. You said the locals often feel a bit embarrassed to say they're from a favela, but actually they should be proud. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, unfortunately, there is a stigma attached to people from a favela because a lot of the outside world, especially the Brazilians that are not from favelas, believe that the favelas are just full of dangerous people, they're full of criminals, and if you go there, you're going to get robbed, you're going to get shot. They believe all these really incorrect stereotypes, you know, because 99% of the people that live here are not criminals, over 99%. You know, it's only a small minority that are part of the gang that might be drug trafficking. But, you know, everyone is working legitimate jobs and very nice, friendly, kind people. So it's quite damaging when there is such a strong kind of belief outside of the favela that it's just full of criminals and it's a dangerous place, because it's so far from the truth, you know. It's just full of very, very nice, kind, humble, friendly people. That's why I like living here.
Okay, great. And so tell everyone where they can find you.
So my school, Favela Phoenix, is on favelaphoenix.org if they want to check out the project, donate in any way to the project, because it's an NGO. Or a tour through Favela Adventures as well, which is favelaadventures.org. Yeah, strongly recommend coming on a tour, because that's the only way that you'll really see what life is really like in a favela instead of just what you see on the TVs and in the newspapers, which is always just these kind of negative side, and that's less than 1% of life here, so there's a lot to learn. And it's a fantastic, lovable place. That's why I found myself living here for so long.
So thanks, Jodie. That was Jodie King from Favela Adventures.
So staying on with the favelas, like we said, some local people that we spoke to after, they got quite angry with us that we went into the favela because it's really unsafe. Well, that was their opinion at that point. And do you want to tell us? So we'll talk about Pedro later a bit more, but this was our second couch surfing host in Rio. And once we told him where we'd been, what did he say?
His exact words were, "Do you have shit for brains?"
Which has kind of turned into a quote of the rest of the trip, which is really funny. But yeah, maybe we do have shit for brains, but, you know, we've got to get that culture in us.
Moving on from that, but we're still in the favela. We had a really good experience at a bar, and we're just going to play this clip, and I'll explain what's going on afterwards.
What?
So that was me being pressured by a load of old men to drink like a double shot of the local spirit in Brazil, which is cachaça.
So if you've ever heard of caipirinhas, which is the cocktail, what they make them with is normal, or the traditional way of making them is with cachaça.
And a lot of it. But I had like a double measure shot, and they're all saying like, "Do it, do it, do it." And I'm thinking, I'm representing my country here. This is for England. I've got to do it. Man up. So I did, and it was fine. And they're all cheering, "Way!" But then afterwards, you know, it just showed how nice and kind and generous these people were. I said, "Oh, how much money for that drink?" And they were like, "No, no money. It was just entertaining." So they were happy just the fact that I did it.
Yeah, and they were all just so nice. And one of them in particular, who we'll put like pictures of him on our Instagram. That's What the Faux Travel Podcast on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. But this guy, oh my goodness, he absolutely broke my heart. Like if he came up to me and was like, "Amy," all in Portuguese, "Amy, leave Nick for me." I'd be like, "Yes, absolutely." He is like 70 years old, but you know, like he had the kindest most Brazilian face.
He was like a very cute old little old man, wasn't
he? Yeah. Oh my God, I absolutely loved him. But he was like, oh, do you want to come to my house? And like to the whole tour group, about five of us. But yeah, like he was like, come into my house. I want to show you like from the rooftop. There's a great view. So we followed him into his house.
And yeah, when we were in his house, he was just trying to offer us, you know, food and drink. I remember like he's giving us some Coca-Cola. He's like, and we're saying, no, you know, he didn't have much himself. He just wanted to give us his belongings. He gave you a flower, didn't he, Amy?
Yeah. He's so charming.
He was a charmer, to be fair. He was, yeah.
He led us through his bedroom where, like, this sounds like it's going really dodgy, but it's kind of like on three stories and there's like one room on each floor. But yeah, he sleeps in a hammock, which I don't know whether that's good or bad for his back, but he doesn't have a bed. And his wife lives somewhere else in Brazil as well, so they don't live together, which is quite sad, but he seemed okay about it. And yeah, we went to the top to get a view of the favela, which was great. And you could really see quite far. And then he sort of ran off for a little bit. And he came back and showed us all these pictures of when he was younger.
Acredito que tenha. Eu sou jornaleira 23 anos. Não, 23 anos. Fala pra ela.
Oi?
23 anos de jornaleiro.
23?
De jornaleiro.
He's saying 23 years.
23 anos de jornaleiro. Como banco de jornal.
But I think that's saying how long ago. Oh, maybe 23 years ago.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Has he lived here all his life?
Você mora aqui na sua vida inteira?
Estou há 37 anos.
7 anos.
37.
Okay, so he's lived here for 37 years.
37 na minha casa. Moro sozinho.
Você é de...
Tem 5 filhos.
Você é do Nordeste?
Sou do Ceará.
Ah, legal. Okay. So he's originally from Ceará, the northeast of Brazil.
Cheguei no dia 6 de junho de 70.
And actually, this is something that I should have mentioned to you before, which I normally do. Most families here in Rocinha are not from Rio, they're from the north
dia
of Brazil.
Dia 6 de junho de 70, assisti a Copa do Mundo aqui.
So they come here to work.
Yeah. Rio and Sao Paulo has just a lot more work and educational course opportunities. My girlfriend's another example. She's from Paraíba in the north of Brazil. She came down here with her brother and sister when they left school for the more opportunities. E quantos anos você tem agora?
Tem 17.
He's 67.
Can you ask him, does he like this neighbourhood? Like,
você gosta morando aqui? Yeah. Você gosta morando aqui?
Não, eu não tenho pra onde ir. Tem pra aqui mesmo.
Oi?
Eu não tenho pra onde ir, tem pra aqui mesmo.
I think he's saying like, yeah, it's...
Eu não pretendo sair.
Yeah, there's no problem, it's all he knows sort of thing.
Does he think it's good that tourists come and have a look around?
Você acha é coisa bom é turistas passar e olhar essa comunidade?
Eu como cheguei aqui tão cedo, né? Eu acho que eu tô bem.
So it's like he's good about it.
So that was our favela experience, and you know what an authentic, real cultural experience it was, and it was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed it. But yeah, do your research, guys. We had a good time. You know, make your own mind up. But like we've mentioned the dangers, we've mentioned the good things. Yeah, you make your own mind up, but it was fantastic.
Yeah, it really was. So we're staying in Rio. Let's talk a little bit about Sugarloaf Mountain, because that's quite a famous thing to do when you're there. Sugarloaf Mountain is called Pan do Açúcar, which literally means bread of sugar. So Sugarloaf Mountain. That was really good. I'd really recommend people go up there. It's probably the best views we had of Rio because of where it's situated. So you've got Rio's just a great city all in all, because it's the one city I've been to where you have mountains, you have city life, you have water, like all these different climates and everything all together. And although that does make travelling a little bit difficult in terms of getting from one district to another, because you've got to go around the mountains and stuff, it's so picturesque and I think one of the best cities I've ever been to.
Oh, Rio's got it all. Like you said, it's nature and a city kind of working together, but it's stunning. You're right, best views of Rio up Sugarloaf. You get two cable cars up there, and I remember it actually being quite expensive. We were surprised.
Yeah.
We might be talking like £20 each, like,
yeah,
and that is quite a lot just to get a view, but still highly recommend.
Yeah, I'd still recommend it actually. Yeah, because we did think, oh, that's way more expensive than we were thinking, and then we did nearly turn around and not go up. But actually, it is worth it.
I'll do it, yeah. But the reason why we were surprised, because I think like Christ the Redeemer, like that's the main attraction in Rio. I remember that being like half the price of Sugarloaf. So
yeah,
that's why I think we were surprised. But Christ as well is actually, I think it looks better from down below on the floor, because you see him looking over the city. It's quite stunning. But of course, you need to go up. You need to get close to him. And again, you get some amazing views of Rio.
My recommendations for that is definitely go up in the morning. If you go in the afternoon, A, it's busier for some reason. Well, just because everybody's turned up late. but also it gets really cloudy in the afternoons in Rio. So once you get up there, your views are crap because you can't see anything. So definitely, definitely go in the morning.
That's a good bit of advice. I think more the queues in the afternoon, it's because at the bottom where you have to get a train up, I think that's where the queues start to get really long. But when we got there, there was no queue at all, was there? We got straight on the train.
Yeah, yeah.
It was still busy at the top, but yeah, get there early, very good advice. And while we're on advice, and I think about it before I forget, great way to get around Rio is Uber.
Yes.
It's so cheap. You can be talking like £2 or £3 to get from one side of the city to the other. No cash exchanges hands. It's all online. Even if you book it with Wi-Fi and then when you leave your hotel or house or whatever and you lose Wi-Fi, it doesn't matter. It's fine. Later when you get Wi-Fi again, you then give the driver a review. That is the best way to get around town.
We have not been paid by Uber, though, to say that. I actually do not like Uber, but it made that trip really easy.
There was a few stressful times where we're up in the top floor of a building. We've got Wi-Fi. And we're like, right, it's booked. It's going to be in 2 minutes. We've got to run down the stairs or get the elevator down. And then a couple of times it's happened. Once we got down, he'd been waiting and he gave up and went.
They don't wait long.
And then, of course, we haven't got Wi-Fi on our phone, so we don't know he's cancelled. So we have to go back up to the flat to get Wi-Fi again. So that is the downside of it for sure.
Yeah, that was quite stressful. But yeah, as far as we're aware as well, there aren't any scams. We definitely weren't scammed in any way. So if an Uber driver asks you, oh, you need to pay extra money for this or that, which never happened to us, just don't accept it. You know, Uber is what it is in your own country, even though we don't have it in England anymore. But yeah.
I think in London.
Oh, is it just London?
I think so. I don't know. Well, but anyway, other good places in Rio, you'll have to say what the translation in Portuguese, the colourful steps.
Oh, yes, that's it's really hard to say. Escadaria Celarón. And Celarón is the artist who made it.
Yeah, he's a Chilean guy, I believe. And I think once he'd finished, the next day he was killed, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he was killed and it was a really mysterious thing. Police have said they don't know what happened, but he died on the steps the day after. I'm pretty sure it was the day after it all finished because it took a few decades for him to finish the steps. Whoa. And the day they finished, the next day... Yeah, he died.
That sucks. That's a real downer. Mm. But like I said, it's a really cool place to go. It's very beautiful. Check it out. And talking about beautiful, there's a few beaches in Rio. Copacabana, the most famous, most popular beach, I'd say.
Yeah, like it's a place you've got to go when you're there. But obviously, it's the busiest one. It's the one where you're going to get like quite a few people trying to sell stuff to you. Although the good thing about them selling is that they're mainly selling food. So, you know, everybody wants to buy food.
And actually, it's pretty decent. You're sat on the beach and, yeah, they're bringing you beers and pizza,
and yeah.
All sorts. Which is quite cool. The other beach, which is also very touristic, which I always pronounce wrong. I'm going to give it a go.
Here we go.
Ipanema.
When we first arrived, we kept calling it Ipanema. Ipanema Beach. We're so Essex.
And then a beach we went to, which wasn't very popular, and we couldn't understand why, because it was a nice beach, was Flamengo Beach.
Yes.
We later found out that day from our host, Pedro. He said, oh, you didn't swim in the sea, in the water, did you? Yeah. He said, yeah, that's not the ocean. That's... like a river, which the water comes from all over Brazil. And he said most people who live along that river go to the toilet in that river.
Yes.
So it is sewage. And that's why there was no one on the beach.
And that's why, Nick, the water was brown. And that's why I never got in it.
You didn't, did you? No. I thought it was fine. It seemed fine when I was in it. And then he said, I hope you've had your hepatitis shots. I did then get in the shower like, after he said that.
Yeah.
So don't go to Flamengo Beach.
Well, go, but just maybe don't go into the water because the beach itself is actually quite nice.
Yeah, it was.
And it was so like empty, so we kind of just chilled there for a few hours.
Talk about some of the best places to stay in Rio. We were staying in a place called Botafogo.
Botafogo, yeah.
Which was pretty decent. It was central, really. I think you've got Copacabana to the south, and then you've got the north where like Lapa is good for nightlife, and I think that's near where the colourful steps are.
Yeah, which is quite near Santa Teresa, which is quite an artistic boho type place, so if that's your thing, then definitely go there.
Exactly, but if you just want the full, you know, tourist experience, then Copacabana or Ipanema. But Botafogo, I liked it. It was pretty decent. Metro was all right when we got it. But yeah, Uber's the best way. Because the metro stations, like in London, you can get off one subway. You can get off one underground station. And it's not far walk to the next one. But in Rio, it is quite a long walk between metro stations. So just Uber's the best.
Yeah, definitely. And another place that you might want to consider if you can't find accommodation in those other areas is Gloria as well, because Gloria is quite close to all the other areas. So yeah, to sum up, Botafogo, Lapa, Santa Teresa or Gloria all seem quite good areas in terms of all the touristic things that you want to do, and then also mixing with the locals. They're just the good areas.
Agreed. Speaking of locals, let's mention our two couchsurfing hosts while we're in Rio. Now, the first one, a guy called Lauro and his wife. This was our first ever, well, I say couchsurfing experience, we've hosted, we've never been a guest. So we were nervous going up to this guy's flat, obviously.
It was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit scary. It's made me appreciate what it must be like for people coming to stay at our house, because, yeah, we've been the host several times. But really nice people, nice flat, great location in Botafogo. But there was one incident. We don't think they're listening to this, but we did block their toilet. Why am I saying we? Amy blocked their toilet.
Wait. Don't make it sound worse than it was. So I blocked it, not because of any other reason, other than Brazil's one of those countries that you can't always put toilet paper down the toilet, so they have bins for it. I did not know this at this point, and I must have just put a bit too much toilet paper down there, and it did get blocked.
Yeah, I just think, because I think most places you can put paper down, but just the system can't cope with much of it.
Yeah.
And then we had to unblock it. Again, why am I saying we? I had to then unblock it, and Lauro and his wife are both at work at the time, so we were on our own, and we're like, well, what do we do? Found a plunger, and I'm plunging away, and nothing would happen. So a good method of unblocking a toilet, this is great advice on this podcast, is just grab a bucket of water and chuck it down the toilet, like really hard.
Really, really chuck it.
Unblocks it all. So all I could find was a pan from the kitchen.
Oh God, this sounds so awful.
This was a nightmare situation. Full of water. Chucked it down, but I also dropped the pan, which they used to cook food in.
I was crying in the other room.
Dropped the pan in the toilet and then obviously washed it like two or three times. I proper washed it, but we did unblock the toilet. That was the only drama in that place.
Yeah, and we did scrub that pot as well. So
we cleaned
again,
it.
Again, I say we. Nick scrubbed the pot.
Yeah. Of course, if you're staying in someone's house for free, you definitely need to sort out these problems rather than just say, I blocked your toilet, can you help me? Yeah. So we sorted it out, it's fine. Then our next host, Pedro. We were able to spend a lot more time with Pedro than we were with Lauro, because Lauro was working a lot. And we got to hang out so much, didn't we? And his apartment, really nice. He's got a hammock by the window where you can see Christ the Redeemer. Oh. And do you remember when we entered his apartment for the first time, he had his Brazilian music playing?
As soon as we got to Pedro's flat, he opened the door and it literally was like, oh! And then like he opened the door to Brazil. Everything was so Brazilian, like this Brazilian man speaking with a Brazilian accent. He had this really great music on in the background. At that point, I really felt like I just entered Brazil. It was amazing.
Yeah, we were able to have a good chat with Pedro. And although we were absolutely loving Brazil, we understand, you know, it's not all brilliant for everyone living there. It's not that perfect. As we were chatting to Pedro about why living in Brazil isn't always that easy.
The problem of Brazil is the corruption of the government and lazy people that lives here. We have an amazing country. Our music is one of the best of the world. Our music is like the German beer. It's very good. We are very hot people, we make friends very easy. But here is difficult to live because the government is stealing our money and we have to pay a lot of taxes and we don't see the cash back. The hospitals are very bad, the education is very bad. And I want to live abroad because I don't know what will happen in this country the next 10 years. We are facing the biggest economic crisis here in Rio de Janeiro. I work as a teacher in a public school and I'm waiting for my last salary for the last 40 days. And I don't know when I will have my money. But here is very cool. Carnival is arriving. I have this factory of musical instruments. And my company is raising. I'm very proud about my job because there are a lot of carnival groups is playing my instruments.
So how can we describe this instrument? It's like a tube with corn inside, right?
Yeah, it's a tube of aluminium. It sounds like that. It's used to play samba, maracatu, forró, and another rhythms of Brazil.
So if somebody wants to find your company, what's it called?
It's called Chocalhos do PJ. C-H-O-C-A-L-H-O-S of PJ. My nickname is PJ. So you can find it in internet. I have a fan page. Or if you look to Maracatu Brazil, it's a very famous school of music in Rio de Janeiro. You can find the instruments too.
Can we hear the big one?
So that was our couch surfing host, Pedro. If you do want to buy one of his shakers, those instruments, then probably best to get in touch with us, and then we'll put you in touch with him if you can't get his website or you miss the name there. So yeah, just send us a message on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter and we'll link you up.
Now, what we did with Pedro, this is the major advantage of couch surfing. You get that local knowledge. He actually took us to the music school that he mentioned in our little interview there, where they were practicing for carnival.
Faço festa, faço luta, bato bumbo pra.
Somos campeões da estrela, ninguém pode nos calar.
Faço festa, faço luta, bato bumbo.
Maybe one of your favourite times of the trip.
It really was, and it was one of those things that would just seem so casual. It wasn't built up to be this whole great thing. So then when you get there, it's just like mind-blowing. So I can't believe how many people turned up to this carnival lesson, and there was like two or three different rooms in this building, and it was really heavily soundproof because they were so loud. Everybody's bringing their own drum or their own shaker. And again, it was another experience where I was like, we have entered Brazil officially.
For sure. And it wasn't just that we did with Pedro, we did a few other things. He was always happy to hang out. We cooked for him one day. We cooked him an English shepherd's pie. So we wanted to cook him some traditional English food. He probably thought this is so bland and boring, but it's the thought that counts. And he was always up for, you know, going out for beers and stuff. Now, on our last night with him, we had to get our bus early the next day. He left at 5. We had to get there at 4, so we were waking up about 3 a.m. It's 11 o'clock at night, and then we're thinking we should probably go to bed now. And Pedro's like, right, guys, let's go out for some beers. And we did. We thought we're never going to be here again in Rio, but he was just always up for going out and doing things.
Yeah, always go, go, go. Yeah, he really did transform our experience. He answered any questions we had about Brazil, you know, even down to, like, government and politics. And it was just really, really great to get that inner knowledge. And that is just the absolute pro to couch surfing.
Pedro, you're the man.
We love you.
Let's now move on. Rio is done.
É melhor ser alegre que ser triste. Alegria é melhor coisa que existe. É assim como a luz no coração. Mas pra fazer samba.
Yeah, so the next place we went to was Ilha Grande, or Ilha Grande, however you want to say it. So this is where we had our cheapest night out ever, we think, wasn't it? Because that drink was talking about before that makes caipirinhas is cachaça. It's a bit like vodka, I guess, over here, where you can buy really expensive good vodka, but you can also buy the dirt cheap vodka that makes you ill.
And we found the dirtiest of the dirtiest. We're in the supermarket and there's a big bottle and it cost us £2.50.
Yes.
Now, we should also explain, we were staying at a hostel at this point because it's not the type of place where you can couch surf. Well, we couldn't find anyone. It's just a big tourist place, loads of hostels. We lucked out. We had a really great hostel with a lot of cool people. And one night we thought, we need to have a big night out. So we bought cachaça, this dirty alcohol. And then the only other ingredients, it's amazing, in this drink are limes, like you chop up some limes, and sugar. There's not a mixer. It's just all the liquid in there is alcohol and then a bit of lime juice and sugar.
So you can imagine just one of these kind of, not floors you, but gets you pretty close to it. Yeah, it's a strong drink, but it is amazing. I actually really like it. Even though it was the dirt cheap version, I did really like it.
That was great. So we pre-drank at the hostel. We were hanging out with Danish people, Canadian people. There's a couple of Brazilian guys there as well. Argentinian guy. We, you know, played games, played cards, and then went to the one nightclub on the island. That was free entry. And by that point, we'd already had enough to drink, so we didn't buy any drinks there. So our night out, grand total, did cost us like £2.50.
It was amazing.
Which was brilliant.
It was really good. And that hostel that we were staying at, we would really recommend it. Again, we've not been paid to say this or anything. We just really recommend the hostel. It's called Papagayo Hostel, which means...
Parrot.
Yes, very nice. So yeah, Parrot Hostel, and it's a really great location. Obviously, you get the boat there because it's an island, and then as soon as you get off the boat at the jetty, you literally walk to the end of the jetty and it's just to your left. And yeah, it's great location.
Easy. Now, Ilha Grande, it's where people go on holiday. A lot of Brazilians were there on holiday. We met one couple. This was their 10th time going there.
Mm.
And it was great. And, you know, you can do boat trips around the island. It's really picturesque. You can swim in the sea. If we're being absolutely honest, and we have to be honest, it's a bit like the Thai islands, but not quite as good.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But we still had a fantastic time there. We did a trek to this waterfall, which went quite badly wrong because I was only
wearing... It didn't go badly wrong. I had a great time. It was just you. You were just like crying the whole time.
I was wearing flip-flops and I really should have wore trainers. We didn't know how intense this walk was going to be. Then one of my flip-flops broke. So I'm walking barefoot like through this jungle. And I just kept thinking back to when we had our injections for this trip of the doctor. She said, you know, are you going to be hiking through rainforest or jungle or anything like that? And we said, no, don't worry
Absolutely
about that.
Not.
And here we are barefoot. I'm like Mowgli style walking through the jungle.
It was funny.
But
it was good.
But we made it. That was fine. And yeah.
Well, yeah. So the thing that it was our expectations, wasn't it? Because we thought it was going to take an hour, like our a guide or someone told us. But I reckon it took about 2 hours, actually.
Yeah. Oh, and that's another
to get
thing.
There.
Timekeeping. Brazilians, you guys can't do it. Just forget it. If they say they're going to be somewhere at 5, they'll be there at like 6:30.
Yeah. It's kind of, they're working on my time. I like it.
Oh, it suits you. But if they say that's an hour walk, double it.
Yeah. Yeah. Get your expectations in check. So we weren't sure if we wanted to do a boat trip because we were, you know, on a budget. We weren't too sure whether to do it or not. And we thought, oh, we've done these sorts of things before. But then once we've been on the island for a day, we thought, actually, it's kind of the main thing to do. We should be doing it. And I'm so glad that we did. And it wasn't one of those boats where they overcrowd it. Like, it was like a nice speedboat and we had enough space and stuff. And we went snorkeling. And yeah, so I'd really recommend doing one of those tours when you can.
And probably best book it for your hostel because they know who the good companies are.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And if you stay in the hostel that we said, Papagayo, they have it all on a board and they tell you the best place to go and yeah.
Yeah. And on that topic, the hostel can then help you book your transport off the island to the next destination. But I would say, if you can't book for a hostel or hotel, because we were couch surfing a lot of the time, just while it's fresh in my head, I'll say this. If you want to buy a bus ticket anywhere in South America, often online you need a credit card from that same country.
Mm.
So either your couchsurfing host gets it for you and then you give them the cash, or what we did a lot, which I guess you could consider a good tip. I think it's a pretty good tip. When we arrived somewhere at the bus station, then when we're at the bus station, we bought our ticket for a few days later to leave the city. I just wanted to mention that. I think it's a good tip for getting buses around South America.
Yeah, no, that is a good tip because stuff isn't that easy online. After Ilha Grande, we arrived in Paraty.
Paraty, yeah, it's this old, like, 17th, 18th century Portuguese colonial town. It's surrounded by some mountains. It's by the coast as well. It really is one of the most picturesque towns we've ever seen. And it dates back to when the place was a port during the Brazilian Gold Rush. And it's in the middle, kind of Rio and Sao Paulo. I think now there's been a big motorway built, so a lot of people kind of miss Paraty, I should say. But it is beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend stopping there. Just even if you only have time to stop there for the afternoon, that's kind of ideal, actually. But maximum, I'd say 2 days.
Yeah, you just want to walk around the town. I think you can book some tour. Again, you can book like boat tours or you can book a jeep.
This is true.
A jeep tour. But both those tours take you out of Paraty. But the town, just go walk around the town. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, definitely worth a stop. So after Paraty, we went to Sao Paulo.
Meu povo, preste atenção. Na rua daqui eu te fiz. Quero mostrar a quem vem aquilo que o povo diz. Você fala.
Yeah, now, on the journey there, this is what it's often like for people who are couchsurfing. So if you've couchsurfed before and you're listening, you'll know exactly how this feels. We actually didn't
I know what you're going to say.
We didn't have anywhere to stay that night, and I'm thinking, come on, like, Sao Paulo is such a big city. There are thousands of couchsurfers, you know, there are thousands of people online on the app. We must find somewhere for free. I don't want to pay. Because in Paraty and Ilha Grande, we were paying for accommodation. I think we need to get a couchsurfer, and we tried, and no one was getting back to us. And that morning, before we left Paraty, we had some Wi-Fi, so we sent out a few requests. And on our journey, we stopped at a service station, we got on the Wi-Fi, and, like, a gift from heaven. We had Gustavo. You're going to hear from him later. And we'll talk a lot more about Gustavo. He got back to us, and he, bearing in mind it's like midday and we wanted to stay that night, he's like, yeah, you guys can stay at mine, no problem. Oh. And it was like such a high. It was, you know, we're thinking, yes, we got somewhere to sleep tonight for free.
Yeah, yeah, we were just really, really happy because this journey was about 5 hours. And I was like, I don't know, I think you were a bit more stressed about it than I was. But I thought, actually, do you know what? Life just works itself out. And I really think someone is going to get back to us within 5 hours. It's going to be fine. And then it did. And it was great. And it was just such a high, wasn't it? Like you said. But yes, Gustavo was the absolute man. Because the other thing that happened was when we then got to Sao Paulo, with the tip that you just said, we wanted to book our bus on the way out of Sao Paulo a few days later. But we couldn't get one for the date that we wanted. So we'd have to stay an extra day, which worked out a lot better in the long run. But then once we arrived at Gustavo, we'd said, like, really sorry, we've given you late notice. You know, we only asked this morning and we're now in your house. And then we were like, can we stay for an extra night?
But he was like, that's fine, no problem. He was the ultimate host. He's like, anything yeah. in the kitchen you can have. As soon as we'd arrived, 5 minutes later, me and him are playing FIFA. We're having a great time. He's giving us more cachaça. We're having shots. He's just offered us anything. We're staying with him and his wife, Juliana, both great
hosts.
Who
was lovely. She couldn't speak as much English, but I felt like I was kind of connecting with her anyway. And I was like trying to speak Portuguese, and it came out a lot when I was drunk. So.
Yeah, it did, which we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the first night we arrived at Gustavo's, this shows how like trusting and good people are on Couchsurfing. We just met him. He was like, yeah, you can stay tonight and for the next few days, but I've got tickets at midnight tonight to see the new Star Wars film. He's like, I'm a big Star Wars fan. So the house is yours. Just chill out. We'll see you tomorrow. So we didn't really see him much the first day. As he left the apartment, he's on his way to go watch Star Wars. We'd only known him for a few hours at this point. As he left, he said, see you later, guys. Have a good night. And remember, may the force be with you.
When we were talking to him through Couchsurfing before we met, he said something like, oh, I am really geeky. Like, I like Star Wars and stuff. So when we arrived, he wasn't what we were expecting, really. I didn't think he was geeky at all.
But, he likes his games, like computer and Xbox.
What boy doesn't, though, to be fair?
Exactly. He's a big football fan. We bonded a lot over football. But ultimate Couchsurfing host.
So in case you don't know, this is a little bit about Sao Paulo. So it's in the southeast region of Brazil, and it's actually the most populous city in Brazil and the southern hemisphere. So out of everywhere in the southern hemisphere, it's the biggest city. That's just kind of mind-blowing. They call it the New York of South America, don't they?
Yeah, they do, yeah. And there's a particular road, Paulista Avenue, which does look like New York.
So another thing about Brazil that might be a little bit confusing is they call the city and the state the same name. So you've got Rio de Janeiro city in Rio de Janeiro state. And it's the same with Sao Paulo as well. So that's the capital of Sao Paulo state. And there's 26 states in Brazil as well. So another thing that Gustavo was very good at was his history. And he knew a lot about a place called Liberdade, which is in Sao Paulo. It's like one of the districts. You might not know this because I definitely didn't before going to Brazil. And I find it so interesting. Sao Paulo actually has the largest amount of Japanese people outside of Japan. So they mainly live in this place called Liberdade. So we asked Gustavo a little bit about it.
Liberdade is the biggest Japanese neighborhood in the world. Sao Paulo has the most immigrants, Japanese, outside of Japan. And Liberdade was the place where all Japanese side live together here in Sao Paulo. And now we have a different culture in a part of in a neighborhood here.
And when did it start?
It started in the beginning of the 19th century. The immigration goes to here by the coffee farms that need more prepared workers for Brazil. And we start to receive a lot of immigrants. Japanese was one of them.
How did Japanese people first get here?
The first time was in a very famous ship, was called Kasatomaru. And he landed in Santos City.
That's where you're from?
Yes, where I'm from. It's very famous there. And it's the beginning of the immigration of Japanese here.
But why did they come here?
I know that in the beginning of the last century, I know that was a crisis by land to plant or farms. And I know that a lot of people say, think that Brazil was the way because we have a lot of land and not is working in all them. So it's an opportunity to the people have their own land. So a lot of one goes to here to be a dream, to be a farm for the family and a good one to don't be starve anymore. I think that is the principal motive for the Japanese people go to here.
So people who are tourists visiting that part of town, what can you do there?
In Liberdade you can buy stuffs that imported from Japan, from Korea and from China. You can see a little of culture of mangas and animes. You can share the food because we have a lot of Asia restaurants there, and see a little of architecture that's very near the Japanese architecture principle.
Okay, now that's done, I need to beat your ass at FIFA. Okay, are you ready?
Okay, but I think that you can beat my ass because I am at home, you are away, so I have the supporters who sent me on the game, so I can beat, that will be 3-0.
All right, let's do it.
That was the man, the myth, the legend. That is Gustavo. So while we're in Sao Paulo, we, as we always do in when we're travelling, we went for a free walking tour.
Love it.
Now, Sao Paulo is quite famous for its street art, a lot of graffiti. So after the tour, we spoke to our guide, Natalie, about a place called Batman Alley.
Oh yeah, so Batman Alley is the best place if you want to really see the best of graffiti in Sao Paulo. Batman Alley is the place to go. In the beginning, just people, artists going there and painting for themselves for fun. But the place, since it's an alley, so they have a lot of space. So things grew more and more, and as more tourists came to Sao Paulo, they started to get more attention. And now that is the biggest outdoor, so if you want to show your art, you should go there. And obviously you have to be very good to earn your space there.
And Batman Alley is also, it's a place where people go at nighttime as well to like hang out with their friends, drink.
Well, there are some bars around Batman Alley, but actually there is not such a popular place to go at night. Well, now they have public lighting, but this has been only a few months since they put it there. But before, it's more a place to see during the daylight, and it's a residential place. So now there's been cases of people, like drunk people around Vila Madalena, obviously walking around drunk in the city, and they get there and they're like being loud. So some of the people who live there, they became kind of angry.
So you mentioned drunk people. Let's talk about the nightlife in Sao Paulo. Can you tell us the best areas for the nightlife, but also you explained how different days are good for different reasons.
Yeah.
And tell us your favorite day or favorite night.
Okay, so my favorite night is Thursday night because, well, we have things every day of the week. The beginning of the week is usually quieter. Thursday, things start to get more interesting because you have most nightclubs and most bars are open, and nightclubs, they go all night long. And on Thursday, not everyone gets to go out because a lot of people wake up the next day. So it's not so crowded, because this is the thing, Friday nights and Saturday nights, it's very, very crowded. And you see, as Sao Paulo, you see a little bit of everything.
And what area of town is best for drinking in the street or drinking in bars?
Oh, I think Vila Madalena is very good for drinking in bars, because in Vila Madalena you have a little bit of everything, and you can sit down, have some live music, and there are just a lot of choices. There's another place close to Paulista Avenue. There is Augusta Street. Augusta Street is the underground nightlife.
Is that where I've heard about a club called D Edge, which is really famous?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is that Augusta Street? Is that where that is?
No, actually, D Edge. It has it's similar to the Augusta vibe, but D Edge is more to the west of the city.
Last question from me. We've actually heard from a few people, including Brazilians, that Sao Paulo, it's dangerous, it's scary, don't go there. Can we set the record straight? Maybe give some advice to people who are coming to Sao Paulo.
Oh yeah, of course. Come to Sao Paulo, that's the first advice. It's an amazing city, but as a big city, things happen here. And you have to just be aware. So some of it is common sense, like don't get too drunk if you're by yourself. And when you're, I know some people that we are used to some parts of the world, walking around with your cell phone on the streets. If you don't feel it's a place with a lot of people, just avoid using your cell phone on the street. But usually people who come to São Paulo from outside, they stay in the areas that you don't feel this violence all that much. Unfortunately, the city is divided in two. So you have a big part of the city where you have poor neighborhoods, and this is where you have more crime. But this is far away from the centers and from all the touristic places. So this is sad for a reason, but for the other reason, it should come here. And be aware of pickpockets. This is the only thing.
Yeah, it's the same in any city in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so to finish off, can you tell us about Sao Paulo free walking tours? And if any of us want to come back and do your tour, how can we find you?
So we have these tours, they're always in English, walking, trying to see a local perspective on the city. We have on all the social media, we are always on the same time. So we have tours every day of the week. And we do our best so people can see this local site of São Paulo, but also with a good amount of information. So 3 hours is enough.
Thanks, Natalie. Yeah, so that was Natalie Colliello. She is from Sao Paulo Free Walking Tours.
I must admit, really good tour. And I was a bit apprehensive about going on an art graffiti tour, but actually it was really interesting. I would for sure recommend it. Like she said, they do other tours, but that was really good. So the next person we're about to introduce you to, it's a bit of a strange one, but one of my favourites. So when we're in Sao Paulo, we met a guy called Rafael. And it's actually a guy I've been speaking to on Twitter. I've been aware of him for a while because he supports my football team back home in England. So he lives in Sao Paulo. He's a Brazilian guy, but he supports my football team. So we organised a night out to hopefully watch one of the games on TV, but we couldn't find it on TV anywhere. But we ended up going out for a big night out. And we invited some people that we met on the walking tour. There was an American guy. There were some Germans who came with us as well. And of course, we invited Gustavo and Juliana along. We said, we're going to go for some drinks with some friends. Had a great group of us together, drinking in the street, having a really good time. And we asked Rafael how a young Brazilian guy came to support my team back in England.
Well, it all started in 2009 when I started to play FIFA with a lower league team. I wanted to grab a lower league team in order to make it to the top. I started playing with Sheffield Wednesday for a while. I liked the shirt, I liked the squad. And then a few years later, I had the opportunity to go to England and finally got to see Sheffield Wednesday playing live, and we won. I had the time of my life because mainly people from Sheffield put me inside the stadium. They made me meet one of the highest recognition players at the time, so I was amazed with that, and well, here we are.
It's very cool that we've met you here through our shit football club.
No, don't say that, mate. We have a to be proud of.
The best football club.
And we're in the street, we're drinking beer. What's more Brazilian than that?
No, I don't know, man. You're having quite the proper Brazilian time.
So that was Rafael Marquez, the one Sheffield Wednesday fan in Brazil.
So actually, I think there is one more somewhere, but he's not very active on social media. But legend, we love it how he told me off at the end when I said I said our team is shit. Like, you don't say that, man. You got to be proud.
While still in Sao Paulo on our last day, Gustavo and Juliana very kindly showed us to this restaurant, which is very Brazilian. And so how we have a roast dinner in England on a Sunday, it's the traditional meal. Their traditional meal is called feijoada, which is probably one of the best things I've ever eaten in my life. And it sounds like one of those simple meals, but honestly, when you see it and taste it and dream of it and just like...
dream of it.
It is honestly amazing. So it's a meal made up of rice, and you have black beans as well, which kind of are washed overnight. And the flavour they bring out of these black beans, like Nick literally looks like he is so happy just thinking about it.
So good. There's loads of pork in this pot.
Yeah, it's kind of like a stew, but like a Brazilian stew, not as we would think of a stew. And so black beans, a lot of meat and like crackling as well, very salty. And they normally put a bit of orange on the table. I'm not sure if you're supposed to eat that after, if it's like a cleansing of the palate thing. But yes, oh my goodness. Oh, and there's normally some green vegetables. It's kind of like a mix in between seaweed and kale.
Yeah, kale.
Yeah, kind of stringy vegetable, but yeah, really nice.
The flavours in this feijoada blew my mind. And I think even the rice is cooked in... I remember Gustavo saying the rice was cooked in like pork fat, I think, which, you know, it's not very good for you, but so delicious. And we had a great lunch with them. And at the end, you know, we're ready to pay. Gustavo, what's he done? He's paid for us. And we said, look, you know, come on, man. Like, we're staying at your house for free. We should be the ones getting lunch. And he said, I'll tell you what, next time in England, you take us out for lunch.
Yeah, so Gustavo and Juliana, we are waiting for you to come to London so we can take you out for like a roast dinner or something, some traditional English food.
But what nice people. They took us out for a proper Brazilian lunch, and it was where Brazilians go. And I want to point out by this point, actually, we've been on our trip for a while now, and I know we said we met some Germans and Americans on a walking tour, but we've pretty much been hanging around with locals. We didn't see any English people in Brazil, which I'm surprised about. We normally see us.
There was one on our Sao Paulo free walking tour, but we spoke to him for about 3 minutes, and he was only there for a wedding. He wasn't like traveling or anything.
That's
but you're
true.
Right. We didn't see like hardly any tourists, let alone English people.
Yep, just mixing with the locals, couch surfing. It's the way forward.
Yeah, it's our new favourite thing. And actually, this weekend, we have some Japanese people staying with us tomorrow.
We do. A Japanese lady and a French guy. We'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah. So yeah, Brazilian food. So that's feijoada. And then we also, on that day, before lunch, there was a food market right by Gustavo and Juliana's house. So while Juliana was getting her makeup done, like very fancy, because they were going to a wedding later that day, Gustavo took us around this food market. And it was like any food market you would assume, like you'd imagine, but it was just so long, like walking through the streets. And I think he said that they put it in a different place every week, or whenever they do it, once a month. It just so happened that it was this close to his house. And he took us through and was showing us all the different fruit and vegetables that we don't see in England. And everything was so vibrant. You could smell all the spices and all the colours. And oh, it was amazing.
And because we're with a local, he can speak to them and he can ask for little tasters. And of course, we know we're not getting charged the wrong price. And just tasting little bits of the fruit. Like, I like fruit, but of course, fruit's not the most exciting thing. But let me tell you, in Brazil, the fruit is next level.
Mind-blowing.
It's delicious.
And actually, one time you ate so much, it didn't be too kind to your body, was it?
Well, fruit helps you go to the toilet. So too much fruit.
So you can imagine what happened there. So we went through this food market and he showed us a sugarcane drink. So in Brazilian or Portuguese, it's called Clado de Cana. So I don't know. Let's do that with a Bora accent. Clado de Cana.
Yeah, that sounds Brazilian to me, yeah.
I don't really like sweet things, so that was quite nice. And they mixed it with lemon, right? Was it sugar and lemon?
I think so. I was surprised how much I liked that. It was delicious.
Yeah, but like sweet things make me feel quite ill, so I didn't really drink too much of that. But the thing that I really liked was this like deep fried pastry pocket. Would you call it like a pastry pocket?
Yeah.
It's like square and you can have whatever you want in it. So I think we got a pizza style one. I had a lot of cheese and pepperoni and stuff in it. And like once you bite into it, there's a bit of, it's kind of like dry coleslaw, I would say, in a bowl. And you pick it up with a spoon and you put it inside the pastry and eat it there. And oh, it was so good.
It was delicious.
So we shared one of those.
We had such good food experiences in Brazil.
But I definitely recommend getting one of those if you're in Brazil and you see it.
That was our Sao Paulo experience over. And I've got to say, we heard mixed reviews about it, but because of the people we're hanging around with and some of the bars and restaurants we went to, I actually think that was my favourite time. Rio was my favourite place in Brazil. Like, it just looked spectacular. But my favourite time was in Sao Paulo. I loved it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, and it is all about the people. And we obviously met incredible people in Rio as well. But yeah, it just always just kind of seemed to click. Que me faz permanecer, me dá prazer. Mas acontece que eu te amo e esse seu bumbum chamando. Que me faz permanecer. Mas acontece que eu te amo e esse seu. So our next stop and final stop in Brazil was Foz do Iguaçu, which is where the Iguaçu waterfalls are. The town that you stay in is called Foz do Iguaçu.
In Brazil?
In Brazil, on the Brazil side, because if you don't know much about Iguaçu Falls, it's on the border of Argentina and Brazil, and the Paraguayan border is pretty much in the same place as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can go on both sides, and both sides offer different things. And everybody we spoke to before said, make sure you go to both sides. And when we come to our Argentina episode of Series 3, we will tell you about the Argentinian side. We were not going to tell you which side we thought was best, so that you listen to it. So the Brazilian side, what does it offer you, those waterfalls?
Yeah, I would say you get the opportunity to go really close to one of the waterfalls. I think it's near where Devil's Throat is, which was good. Some people were wearing like big raincoats and mats because they didn't want to get wet, but the weather was so hot, it was such a relief to go close to the waterfall and get wet. It was a real thrill. It was a real thrill getting up close and getting wet. I really enjoyed getting wet. Did you get wet?
I got really wet. So, yeah.
That's what happened.
It was great.
And of course, Iguazu Falls is incredible. It's stunning. I believe it is the biggest biggest chain of waterfalls, because of course it's not one big waterfall. I think there's hundreds. There's loads of waterfalls. This was the place you were probably looking forward to the most. Like, this was one of the things behind the whole reason to go to South America. But I just want to give my opinion, because I've saved it for now. I haven't told you my real opinion.
Of what?
The waterfalls.
I feel like I've been cheated.
I've saved it for now, for the podcast, because I want your reaction.
Okay.
They are amazing, but I don't get waterfalls.
Oh, God.
I'm not bothered by them.
Like, I feel like we should get divorced.
Because you really like waterfalls, and people say, yeah, I've been to Victoria Falls or Niagara or whatever. I don't get it.
What? Who are you?
I'm not bothered
by
waterfalls.
When we were there, you were like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, like, it's spectacular, but it's water.
Okay, right, so you just said it's spectacular, but it's boring. How can two things be so opposite?
I'm trying to say it's not my thing. I'd rather go on a walking tour around Sao Paulo, but I'm saying, yeah, I can see why people think it looks beautiful. It is quite spectacular, but I'm not bothered. Seriously, I'm not bothered about waterfalls.
So, out of interest, do you think it was worth the 18-hour drive to get there and then, like, the 18-hour drive to get out to another city?
Honestly, just more to say that we've done it, but if we didn't do Iguazu, because it was such a long way out of our way, I wouldn't have been that bothered.
Okay.
Seriously.
That's good to know.
So, again, what do you think of the falls?
Well, yeah, with a bit of background, South America has always been my dream continent to go to, because I used to do salsa, I kind of speak Spanish, and it's always been that continent for me that I'm just like, wow, I've got to go there. So when I started researching it, Iguazu Falls was like one of the first things I saw that you could do there. So it's just been a kind of childhood dream or a teenage dream, yeah, ever since I was younger. And it didn't disappoint at all. So it's somewhere I've always read up on and seen pictures. And it really did blow me away. And I do think it was worth the journey and the money to get in there. Something that did surprise me was I thought you just walk to one viewing point and see it, and then that was it. So when we first paid for our ticket, I thought, oh, this is expensive. But no, that's not the case at all. You get there and then you get on this train and it takes you a lot closer, and then you can do a whole day's walking. There's so many different viewing points, different runs that you can go around. You can get back on the train and go further up. There's so much to do. And yeah, it really did blow me away. I would recommend going.
I've heard people say that Iguazu was their favourite part, you know, of South America.
Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't my favourite part because the people are my favourite part, but yeah.
Yeah, but I've heard people say that. You're looking forward to it a lot. And yeah, I think most people love waterfalls, but I just don't get it.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I mean, we'll just get divorced, but it's fine.
I just want to give some advice. I'm not going to give away the Argentina side because, like you said, we'll mention that in our Argentina episode. Where we stayed in Foz do Iguazu, the town in Brazil, there's not much there. Let's be honest. It's a place people go to see the waterfalls. So I wouldn't recommend making any plans for Foz. But we stayed near a road called Avenue das Cataratas. And that's where a lot of buses stop to take you to either side. Now, if you want to go to the Brazil side, you wait for the bus that actually says Iguazu on the front of the bus. If you want to go to the Argentinian side, you wait for the bus that just says Argentina, okay? So as long as you're staying near that road, it's fairly simple. Because I remember when we first got there, I was a bit overwhelmed. I thought, how do we get here? How do we get there? We were staying at Airbnb at the time, and they gave us a bit of help. But fortunately, we didn't know this before, but we were staying close to that road where all the buses pick you up. So that is my tip for Foz do Iguazu.
Very nice. We're coming to the end of our Brazilian episode. And what we normally do is rate a country out of 10, which we are still going to do. But I thought it would be a good idea to do it when we had just crossed the border into Paraguay, because that was our next country that we were going to. So we'd literally just left Brazil, walked across the border, and I asked Nick what he thought of Brazil in total while it was still raw and fresh.
I had high expectations for Brazil, even though I always tried to have no expectations, but it completely met them. I think it went past them as well, to be honest. It's difficult to give somewhere 10 out of 10, but I can't think of anything wrong with it, to be honest. The landscapes, the food, the people, it was so good. So many high points, it's got to be a 10 out of 10.
Nice, okay, well...
What about you?
Yeah, I'd say that my high points was the favela, and another high point was the music day with Pedro, because I just felt like we had arrived in Brazil. It was amazing, it was really good. And yeah, so then my high points, what was my low point? In Rio, actually, where we went to that beach and the guy called us racist, which is so ridiculous and untrue. Yeah, so that's probably a low point, but that was our one bad experience. And like, yeah. Everybody says that Brazil isn't safe, but I mean, obviously stuff happens and I'd always say be careful. But for me, I felt safe. I felt like I was around really good people. Yeah. So yeah, I'd give it a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 from both of us.
So yeah, we kind of liked it.
Just a little bit. I really do think it is all because of the experience. It was our new couch surfing adventure that we had, all the people. Like, honestly, it's an incredible country.
It's amazing. Now, we always bang on about how India's our favourite country. I think India still is my favourite country. But I don't think India is your favourite country anymore.
No, I've actually got the Taj Mahal, which sounds really tacky, but I think it's quite nice, like tattooed on my arm. And yeah, it's always my favourite. And don't get me wrong, it still is my favourite country, I think, India. But what I was trying to get over to you when we was having that conversation was that Brazil is my top country. Because I think India, you can have really awful days. You can, if you're not in the right frame of mind to walk through the streets of India, like, you'll have an awful time. So I think Brazil is a lot more to my tasting culture. I love the food. Oh, I love Indian food as well. But like, all the people and everything, I just feel like I could live in Brazil more than I could live in India. And therefore, I think Brazil is my favourite country.
That's fair. India's Marmite. Brazil is heroin. But... top three countries, mine would still be India, but then second Brazil, third Morocco.
Yes, Morocco is definitely my third as well.
Brazil, India, Morocco.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, so I definitely want to go back to Brazil. I want to go to the north. We've heard so many good things and all Brazilians were telling us definitely go north. It's beautiful. Like, that's where we go for our holidays. It's an incredible country and I would recommend anybody to go there.
So, what's next?
Yes, so our next episode is all about Cuba. So Cuba was our last stop on our way home from this big trip that we've just got back from. And things didn't really go to plan at any point in the trip. And a few things happened. We are going to fully delve into Cuba and tell you exactly what we think, because there's no point in us sugarcoating every single country that we've been to, because look, we're saying how much we love Brazil and we want you to know we're being honest about it. So we're going to tell you truthfully what we think of Cuba.
Yeah, we've got to be honest. If we're not, then what's the point in you guys listening to us, you know? So that's going to wrap up this episode. It is good to be back, guys. Really, really good. Hope you enjoyed us talking about Brazil. Obviously, we loved our time in Brazil. What I do want to mention, I'm back on the bandwagon about faux parties.
Oh, here we go again.
I'm talking about faux party number three now. Now, I want to mention something to you now, because I know you don't really agree with me here. I don't want it to be in England again. We need to move on. Mm. I'm thinking somewhere in Europe, but I understand why you're hesitant, because you think people won't travel, but that's not why I want to have it in Europe. I want to have it in Europe because I know we have listeners in Europe. I'm not expecting the London crew to follow us. Of course, they can.
Would be amazing.
Let's have a good weekend in Europe. I'm thinking somewhere mainland Europe, but I want the listeners to tell me if I'm talking sense or if I'm not. Basically, if you're listening now in Europe and you would come, I don't know, Amsterdam, Berlin, Prague, somewhere fairly central, then let us know. I believe in you guys. So do you?
You're making it out as if I don't believe in them.
No, but you understand. You don't think anyone's going to come, but I think people will. So come on, guys, let us know.
Cool. Don't forget, if you want a What the Faux t-shirt, then you can get them online through our website, which is whatthefauxtravelpodcast.com. And on that, you can listen to all of our previous episodes and see photos from our trip. We are going to be putting on our Brazil pictures very soon, so you'll be able to see them there, as well as on our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So get following us.
See you next month.
Obrigada.
Obrigado. Please feel free to get in touch with the show. You can do that by checking out our website, www.whatthefauxtravelpodcast.com. From that, you can find all of our social media channels. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our email address is whatthefauxpodcast@gmail.com. This podcast was sponsored by Ant Podcast Management. For help getting your professional podcast up and running, visit ant-podcastmanagement.com.